Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Groundhog Day 2023. Thursday, February the 2nd, 2023, 15 minutes past the hour, 2:23, and our groundhog, Warren Groundhog Harding, last hour, picked a piece of the groundhog pizza, and the prediction was 6 more weeks of winter in lockstep with Buckeye Chuck and Punxsutawney Phil this year. Linda Sims, Mary Ellen Withrow, Bob Welch, James Anderson, Terry Tackett, all in studio today here with us, and we have not tried the groundhog pizza yet, so we're going to get to that here momentarily. James Anderson was the identity of our groundhog. He's going to fill us in on groundhog, all things groundhog, so we have an educational purpose here this morning. But Mary Ellen, it's been an interesting morning so far.
Yes, it has. An unusual morning.
Very unusual.
Yes.
Now, we learned that if you are in a groundhog costume, that sitting down is probably not the way we're going to go. You can't sit down to dinner with anybody if you're going to be in a groundhog costume.
Well, he was too tall. Yes. He said if he'd have been shorter, he could have sat down, right?
Yeah.
Now, I wonder, can you order suits in different sizes like that? Well, I mean, Santa Claus suits, I know, come in different sizes for people.
Yeah.
So why not groundhog suits? Why not the whole thing?
I don't know if there's a lot to pick from in the groundhog suit.
Probably isn't a whole lot of call for that outside of February the 2nd. Bob, before we get to this pizza, we did it in hour number one, but in case we have somebody new tuning in, let people know what this groundhog pizza is and came from and how it came to be.
This groundhog pizza is ground hog or ground pork, so you know it is safe and edible. From all the ingredients are from Kroger, so it's not like I went off to somewhere. But specially made, we put a little placard under each slice there, either early spring or late winter. Our groundhog picked late winter. I guess this is the second year tradition that we've had of having a groundhog pizza here at the station. So.
But this year was the first year we did a prediction.
That's right.
So we got the prediction. Now, Linda, as you witnessed that whole thing, we haven't had you on the mic since then. What did you make of that?
Of the
whole thing. The whole kit and caboodle there.
Well, it's I guess it's like tradition, and not only that, just like the Santa Claus suit, you know, representation of the groundhog, which. And not only that, the real stuffed groundhog is really ugly.
Oh, we do have a stuffed groundhog here from 1976.
Yeah, we got the whole gang here, right? And Mary Ellen, she touched it and put it on her head. And I'm like, she's not afraid of anything, is she? But I think it's been a great morning, and you guys come up with the greatest ideas.
Well, Mary Ellen, bravery apparently this morning by touching the fake groundhog.
You know, I think groundhogs are cute.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. I've always thought they were cute.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
Now, that taxidermy groundhog from 1976.
He's not that cute. But
no. He's a little old now.
Yeah. He's kind of worn looking, but he's been around a long time.
Do they still taxidermy things?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do they? Okay. I wouldn't know where to go if you needed something taxidermy.
There's a couple here in Marion.
Yeah. Really? There's shops here in Marion that taxidermy things. Mm-hmm. Wow. Isn't that interesting?
It's a big industry.
I would not guess that. Yeah. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Right.
Well, Bob, let's dole out the pizza here. This will be interesting. Let's get a feel for how people think this pizza tastes, the groundhog pizza.
All right.
Now, this is another one of these moments in history that you don't want to miss. The groundhog pizza.
I don't know who all.
There we go. We'll get one over here to James.
The
and we'll get one to. Are you excited, Linda, for this?
Not really, but.
Well, no. You're highly excited for this.
We won't force one on you there.
One for Mary Ellen. There we go.
I ran out of
there we go.
Plates here.
All right. Well, it looks good.
I get one just to prove it's the edible.
Your friend back there.
You gotta take the first bite.
Yeah, Bob, you go ahead and.
That's a pretty
good. How is that? Oh, we don't need any choking on the groundhog. How is it? As Bob chews on the groundhog pizza.
It's not bad.
It's good.
Oh, not bad, Mary Ellen?
No.
Good groundhog.
In fact, it's pretty good.
Now, how would you say it tastes?
It tastes good.
Now, is it more of a meaty taste, or is it...
Mm-hmm.
As I always say, it's very hard to eat.
So if we go back into business, I could use that as my radio commercial. Mary Ellen... That's pretty good.
So groundhog pizza is not bad.
It's not bad at all.
See, and Linda, you had fears seconds ago for this groundhog pizza. I'm going to get to that in just a second when I have a moment here where I'm not talking, but it smells good. Can't go wrong there. Boy, this seems to be very popular this morning.
Yeah.
James, how's the pizza?
Delicious.
Mm-hmm. Ground, if you were just only in business today, Bob, you could be selling pizza after pizza today.
I could see the sign out front, dude. Groundhog 2 for 1.
I know. How much would a pizza like this sell for?
For special.
Being the ingredients that had to be put on this, what would this thing sell for?
This is a 12-inch pizza, so this generally considered a small size. I'd go $8.95.
Oh, really? That's all? So you could pick this up for under $10. And celebrate. James Anderson over here would buy the pizza. That's very, very good. So, hey, it's a hit. The groundhog pizza is a hit. And if you're just tuning in, our groundhog chose the slice that said 6 more weeks of winter. So that's the way the prediction goes here in 2023. I think it's going to be cold for a spell longer here in Ohio in the Midwest. But that's how it goes.
And since we distributed the pizza, you can see underneath there the other... predictions are there.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, is there one that says early spring under there, or was this all just a... I don't see an early spring one yet. All these 6 more weeks of winter. Ah, here we go. Is this an early spring?
Early spring.
There were early springs under there.
50-50, I mean...
James, if we had only went to the right side of the pizza.
I know.
Well...
Should have done better.
It would be 80 degrees tomorrow.
But that's the mystical nature. Like I said, I did this early this morning, so the pizza had never seen the sun, and the groundhog with the shadow and his pick there, I mean, it's all scientific.
There was a mystical aspect to this whole thing, that the pizza was prepared before the sun came up this morning. It was groundhog pizza. It did have predictions under it. We had a groundhog here in the studio today. It came off about as I thought it would. Very interesting tradition.
Yes, very.
Now, Linda, will you be running out today and saying the groundhog at WGH said that there's going to be 6 more weeks of winter?
I sure will.
You have to promote.
Yes, I will do that. Absolutely, yes.
So what is it about the taxidermied groundhog that bothers you?
You said it was roadkill?
No, I didn't say that.
Well, someone
I don't think it
said
was.
It was roadkill.
No, that wasn't me.
No. Okay, someone said it was roadkill.
No,
so what does that mean? I mean, they got scraped one off the pavement? I mean...
Well, I don't think that probably
happened.
Or it's
a fake...
That's a college-educated groundhog, was my understanding. It came from the university.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's a PhD. That's a university groundhog.
Out higher and deeper.
How did he do the prediction? If it was a person. It was a person?
Our groundhog was a person, yeah.
I know ours was.
Yeah, ours was.
I mean, the one they had this morning.
You know, I don't know anything about that, really.
They look up at the sky.
They look up at the sky. Oh, okay.
Cloud cover or not.
Oh, okay. So there you go. It was,
it was a person.
It was a person, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then they call Pennsylvania right away to give Phil the prediction so that Phil can copy it.
Is that how it went?
That's how it went.
I wonder who predicted first this morning. Does the sun come up earlier in Pennsylvania? It does here.
Technically, yes. Yeah, they have more mountains there, and the mountains kind of hit it. You know, being on a flat plain here, where we're...
We should really know what that bass said this morning. Where's the bass at? The Ohio bass that predicts the weather?
Oh, Benny the bass.
Benny the bass. And
I think he said 6 more weeks of cold winter.
Did he?
Yeah.
I believe, where's that grizzly bear at, Texas?
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma, but I think that he's eating everybody in the crowd down there. So there's really nobody left to tell what happened with that prediction.
And you did have a caller yesterday who when we're doing the trivia for the live animals other than a groundhog, you did have a caller yesterday who did call in with bass, which is at Buckeye Lake, but it didn't make the top 12, you know, but he is correct that there is a bass out there predicting the weather.
Now, isn't that something, a bass that predicts the weather? You know, it's one of the most common questions asked in small talk, you know, what's the weather like?
I kind of like the caterpillar.
The caterpillar is an interesting thing.
Yeah.
But so what was the thing behind the caterpillar again?
The black.
About the black band.
The black band on the caterpillar.
What if it's all black?
Well, that's an entirely different species. That's the leopard moth, not the
Where do they get this caterpillar?
During that time, they're migrating to their hibernation spot, so they're everywhere.
So what do they just look at one that has a longer, more black on it, or how does that?
So the problem is with the woolly bear caterpillar is with the Isabella one that they use is I see one that don't have a lot of black on them, and then I see others that have a lot of black on them. So they try to get an average.
Well, that's interesting. So we don't know what happened there this morning yet. We'll report back. This is very important news. What happened this morning with all these animals and their weather predictions? You know, Groundhog Day is not a holiday, though. For all the things we make holidays, I don't believe Groundhog Day is a holiday.
Maybe we should work on that.
Well, really, I think that's where we should go, because...
The kids should get off.
Yeah, well, I mean, we make a National Day of blah, blah, blah. Is there a National Groundhog Day? Is it today? Is that a thing?
Well, it's a designated day. It's not nationally recognized yet, but it is across the nation. I mean, almost every state from... East Coast to the West Coast has a groundhog event.
Well, but Punxsutawney Phil has been doing this for apparently over a century.
1841,
he made his first prediction.
Wow. They say that they still use the same groundhog since then, but they give him a special Kool-Aid, and he lives for a long time. Oh, so wow. That was true. We all be living.
Well, that seems a little shaky over there in Pennsylvania.
College Kool-Aid.
Real shaky.
So this groundhog has been alive since 1841, is their claim over in Pennsylvania. Well, you know, you don't want to argue with people and let them believe what they'd like to believe over there. But so Punxsutawney Phil, is that where it all started?
Yes.
It did start in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Wonder what it was. I wonder what was going on there in 1841 where they thought, hey, this is a good idea.
Well, they were chasing a groundhog, actually, and it actually got under the stump.
Oh!
And then they kept it there for a while, and then that's where they do the prediction.
Now, who was president in 1841?
Well, it was before Lincoln.
Yeah, that goes way back.
20
Fillmore?
Years before.
Yeah.
Who?
Nolan Fillmore?
Fillmore, there was an Ohio treasurer under Fillmore.
I wonder who would have attended this groundhog function in 1841.
Probably people close by.
Yeah,
travel wouldn't have been too easy.
No planes or automobiles back in 1841. It would have been feet or a covered wagon to get to the first Groundhog Day back in 1841.
Yeah.
So they've got a little ways before they'll celebrate the Harrison.
An Ohio guy. There you go.
Well, how about that? An Ohio man was the president during the first Groundhog Day in 1841, and apparently that is the same groundhog, wink, wink, over there in Pennsylvania. They've been using... You know, I wonder where they get their groundhog. Where does it... Is it stored somewhere all year, James?
I think so, yes.
Really? They give it its own little home there.
Yeah, he probably lives like a king.
Probably does. Now, that whole town comes up for Groundhog Day. The whole town, and they have events and carnivals and...
I heard the hotels is impossible.
Yeah, apparently.
Really?
You have to have beds and breakfasts and all kinds of things. It's a very, very interesting event over there in Pennsylvania.
And then when the movie came out, they said that really increased their publicity.
Oh, the movie. The Groundhog Day movie with Bill Murray, which was a very popular, good movie.
Yeah.
Now, the Groundhog Day movie goes around the idea that he keeps waking up in the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that movie, Mary Ellen?
Yeah, I like Bill Murray.
Very good actor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great... I think... Who's the woman in that movie? She's a good actress, too.
Mm-hmm. She is good. But I can't think of her name.
Very good movie, but all focuses, and I bet gave Punxsutawney Phil and the whole, isn't it Gobbler's Knob or something,
yes,
the area where they do that whole bit? Yeah, it's a big tourist attraction over there. They make a lot of money off of that.
Andy McDowell.
Is that
Andy,
who it is?
Yes.
Andy McDowell?
Yeah. Andy. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So Groundhog Day is just a part of life when it comes to movies, when it comes to states, when it comes to weather predicting.
It's part of American culture.
It is part, yeah. I mean, we have these things that are part of our fiber that go on and on and on and on, and I think that's good to preserve those events as time goes on. Now, Linda, when you were growing up, do you remember a lot of talk about the groundhog?
Somewhat. Not a lot, but somewhat.
Was it always exciting to know?
Of course.
Yeah. We always want to know what the prediction is.
Of course you do, especially if it's already been a cold winter, like a lot of snow and ice, you know. You're already hoping for early spring, so let's hear what the groundhog has to say. I mean, that's where we are, right?
Yeah.
And we're still there, so...
Well, we're very big into tradition. You know, Mary Ellen, what's interesting about me, if you would pitch this idea today that we're going to have a groundhog predict the weather, people would probably say, well, that's odd. Why do that?
And they wouldn't pay any attention to
it. No, we just keep on going down the road.
Right.
But do you think, it's interesting, this is all based in tradition, it seems.
Well, I think it, I can remember when they started Buckeye Chuck, and I thought it was a fun thing, and I liked the idea, and so anyway.
Yeah.
I still like the idea.
Yeah, and it's good that it will continue on,
mm-hmm,
and things will do what they need to do. You know, I think the United States, particularly, maybe even more than other countries, rely on our traditions.
Yes, yeah, we do.
To get us through the years, to get us through good times and bad times.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, this comes at a time of year when not much is going on, mm-hmm, not a lot of holidays. It's cold outside, certainly in the Midwest. So it really has a strong correlation with kind of keeping us up and looking forward to something. Doesn't cost anything to do it.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Yeah.
And with that snowstorm that was supposed to happen last week, the meteorologists aren't right.
No.
So why should the groundhog be
right all the
right,
time?
Right, yeah. Now, James, do we know the correct? It's 70%. You say 70% right? Now, how do we have a mark that it has to be feeling warm by? I mean, what is the idea there? How do we know if it's an early spring?
I would say at least by mid to late February, if that would be the, if it starts to warm up, we would say, hey, your prediction's right. But if it's still saying constantly cold, I'm like, no, we're probably off.
Now, warm up, what would that mean? Would we have to be at like 50?
So here in Ohio, that would probably be, I would say, in the 40s, 45 or above.
45. So if it's above 45 by the end of February, that's an early spring.
Yeah, and I would just go with that based on my opinion. Now, of course, you know, 50 or above, then we're really talking warm, especially this time of year. I mean, because that was crazy, what, about 3 weeks ago? I mean, we were in the 60s.
In the 60s.
And, I mean, we were hearing snakes at Tallgrass Trail. Daffodils were starting to sprout out. So, you know, wildlife was getting very confused in those times.
Go ahead.
How do you hear snakes?
Well, people were telling me that there were snakes out on the trail.
I thought they made a certain sound or something.
No. Just people were reporting and telling me that, hey, I found a snake on the trail at
right.
the beginning of January. I'm like, wow. When I did the Christmas bird count on January 1st, I was hearing frogs I shouldn't hear until March.
Right.
Because that's how warm it was.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah.
You see the things that go on in this town we're not even aware of?
Yes.
There's a whole little culture
yes.
of things going on.
I think I need to walk on the trail, really, over there. Yes, I know I should, but it's an issue.
You know, I cannot remember, though. I don't. You know, I've been to the quarry. I've been to, you know, where Crystal Lake used to be. I'm sure I've been to the Tallgrass Trail, but I don't remember. There's all kinds of events that go on out there, right, James?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Got a sweetheart hike coming up.
Sweetheart hike.
Yeah, break
is that
your sweetheart.
On Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's on February. Well, it's on February 11th, so a couple days before.
Yeah, neat.
But yeah, 1:30, I'm doing a guided nature tour, and but it's Come As You Please hike. We have some free hiking sticks we're giving out. Also, do some Valentine cards you can write to your Valentine. So there you go. Cheap date for us guys.
Wow. So how far do you have to hike on this thing?
So for, for the guided nature tour, we go about a mile, mile and a half. So.
Well, that's pretty good. Now, is it tough terrain?
No, I mean, it's flat. It's flat. Sorry. Now, if there's a lot of snow and ice, we do consider cancellation because, you know, we don't want people tripping and falling, so.
You know, that's interesting. If you went on a sweetheart hike on Valentine's Day and you really wanted to get rid of your sweetheart, that'd be a good place to dispose the body while you're on the hike out there.
Yeah.
You know, you could really clear that whole thing right up while you were out there on the Tallgrass Trail. But what's the strangest thing you've ever found out there?
Jimmy Hoffa?
I bet there's some stuff out there in...
Are we talking about animal or people-wise?
Oh, my. Really, there's people...
Yeah, tell us about
the story, James.
Well, I would say, an animal-wise, I've seen people bring out chickens.
Chickens?
Yeah, on a leash.
Really?
A wolf hybrid, a fox hybrid. We've seen those. Then animal-wise, I mean, we get all kinds of interesting wildlife. We got owls. We got bald eagles and swans and a lot of different snake and frogs and turtles. So,
yeah.
Now, people-wise, what's going on out there?
People-wise, I was, like I mentioned earlier, probably just rather the unique pets we've seen. We've seen birds in backpack cages, chickens on leashes. Like I said, a wolf hybrid somebody brought on a leash. I mean...
So these are people who bring their animals out there.
Yeah.
So people aren't doing anything... out there.
No.
Thank goodness.
They're bringing their pets.
Are the beavers still there?
So, it's funny. Their lodge was at the middle of the lake, but then they flooded their own home out. They dammed up the corner so bad. In 2017, we had a lot of rain that year, and they flooded their own home. So, right next to us is Big Island, right there by her road. So, they moved their lodge over there. But they still come over and swim at the lake.
So apparently the beavers have the same trouble as the citizens of Marion with water drainage problems in their basement.
Apparently, yeah. Over here on the west side of town, there's a lot of drainage problems in the basements, which, I don't know how that all happened, but it's the way it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, how long has the Tallgrass Trail been there?
So we bought in the late 90s, early 2000s. Construction didn't start from 2009, and then we ended in 2017. So it's been almost a 20-year project.
Yeah, I know it's a fairly new adventation here in Marion, which is very, very nice because nature is something that people want to get close to, and you can even do it in the winter here in Ohio.
Yeah, all year.
Now, Mary Ellen, you've always had interest in nature, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
What is the appeal, do you think, of
nature? Oh, I like to look at the birds. I like to see the mountains. I wish Ohio had some mountains, you know, I could look at. But I like all of nature. I like groundhogs.
Now, you still do some gardening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yes, in a minimal way. I have to have a big tub behind my villa.
But it's I think it's very nice that we have these things here in Marion where kids and the younger generation can go out and learn.
Absolutely.
About things of this nature. Do you think it's appeal? Do you see a lot of young kids out there, James?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Oh, good.
Especially in the summertime.
Now, do people ride their bikes out there?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
And especially right after we expanded, because when I first started, it was only 3.7 miles long. Once we start expanding, more and more bicyclists are coming because it was worth the trip. But then when we really finish to the end, we see a lot more bicyclists out there.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. So
people
it's
from all over come, so it's really nice to see.
So it's being used.
Oh, yes.
Being used by a lot of... That's good to hear, Linda. I think that we have this resource here in Marion that's a strong place for... And cheap for kids to go. There's so many things are so expensive now
I've
for kids to do.
I've been out several times. Walking
what do you like
stuff.
To walking?
Mm-hmm.
In the summer, it's great. Spring, summer,
yes.
Winter.
Yes.
So the Sweetheart Hike comes up on February 11th. Well, that'll be a great event for people to want. What time of day?
It's 1 to 4. But if you want a guided nature tour with me, that starts at 1:30.
Now, how much time do you spend at the Tallgrass Trail?
Oh my gosh, a lot of time.
Hours and days.
Yes. During the summer, I mean, I'm there about 4 or 5 days a week. Winter, I'm about 1 to 2 days. But then also, too, I do visit our other parks in the county. We have Teradise, Greensboro, and Myers Woods.
A lot of places to go.
Yes.
And thank goodness for Judge Myers and Trello Romine for being big advocates for that and donating that land.
Yep, and John Watkins.
And John Watkins.
Yeah, Greensboro was his property.
And, who else was involved? I'm forgetting the name.
Jack Kellogg.
Jet Kellogg.
Trello Romine. One of our first park board members.
Kenzel Clutter.
Yeah, Kenzel Clutter.
Kenzel
yeah,
Clutter was a big part of that.
Yep.
So it's very nice that these things were able to be kept up. Now, when it comes to Groundhog Day, when you came to Marion, what year did you come to Marion, James?
2015.
When you saw and heard that we have this big Groundhog celebration going on, what did you think? First time you attended?
I was really stoked, especially when Paul said, "Hey, do you want to be part of the event?" I said, "Well, sure." And back in my mind, I thought it was going to be like the Groundhog Day movie. I thought we were going to have the tall black hats like Abraham Lincoln. I thought it was going to be this whole shit.
Right.
And then when I got there, I mean, it was different, but I really enjoy it. When Scott Schauffer was there, he had the Hawaiian outfit.
Right.
Because he always had his shorts and t-shirt, and, you know, they had their own twist, but I really enjoyed it, and I was really glad that I got to be part of the event, and still, I'm going on 8 years, so.
Now, this morning, kind of take us through what happened down there.
Well, I got there at 5:30, and started slowing in.
Now, 5:30, what's going on down there at 5:30?
Well, actually, Channel 10 was there.
Well, they were already there at 5:30. Yeah, wow, there. God bless them.
More people start coming in about a little after 6. And then about close to 6:30, more and more people gathered in. And then more of the news stations came. And then Paul started, you know, giving trivia about Charlie. And also, too, I came up stage and talked about groundhog ecology and groundhog facts. And then one of the county commissioners came. And so, yeah, it was a lot of different. And Pillar Credit Union, they talked about the whole spam contest because they weren't allowed to do the spam sandwiches anymore. So Pillar Credit Union teamed up with WMRM to do a spam contest, whoever can make the...
Now, why have we done away with the spam sandwiches?
I think it's because of the permits, because after COVID...
I think
the health department required a permit, I think. And also, too, health-wise, just not as much help as there used to be. So because of these two factors, they did not do the spam sandwiches. So.
Was this the first year no spam sandwiches?
Second
year no. Well, that's trouble, Mary Ellen. I can't imagine that the spam sandwiches were done away with. The permit people apparently got the spam sandwiches, and what do you do?
There you go.
You know, there's always some kind of thing going on. Always some kind of problem you run into, no matter what you're doing.
I don't think I'd want a spam sandwich. Thank you very much.
No, you know, the joke for many years, and I don't know where the joke came from, but I heard it from Terry Cole, the late Terry Cole, first when I was working at WMRN. I said, "Why do they serve spam sandwiches on Groundhog Day?" And he said, "Because they're made from groundhog." And that was his reasoning for why they did spam sandwiches.
I know.
Oh, okay.
So, you know.
But not the good parts.
But apparently that's went by the wayside now. But, you know, hey, listen, it's still fun. You say about 50 people there this morning.
Yeah, at least, yeah. Or a little more.
Now, as far as crowds have gone, where does that rank with previous years?
Definitely on the smaller side. Probably 2018, 2019, and I know weather is always a factor as well, too, but when it's warm, I mean, we've had hundreds of people there. But we had someone clear over from New York that came all the way over.
Drove all the way here for the groundhog.
Yep, because they did Punxsutawney Phil, and they wanted to check out the other groundhog.
Good.
And they came to Ohio, so.
Now, this morning, we would not call a bad weather morning, would we?
I mean, on the cold side.
It's cold. Yeah. It's cold.
It's
fun. Yeah, but wouldn't have hurt the driving conditions or anything of that nature. So, this year, compared to with pandemic years, how did they do it during the pandemic?
So, 2020, it was not open to the public. Oh, no, actually, excuse me, 2021, because 2020, it was right before when COVID started. So, that crowd was still really large. Because I was there, and just a few commissioners and just a few other people. But then... this year, it was a relatively, decent crowd, so.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Do you think the whole billboard mess and all that had any impact on the crowd?
Maybe.
Well, you know, there's always a wet blanket in the crowd, I guess. Yeah. What can you do?
I was watching the Channel 10 newscast of it, and they never cut to the billboard at all. They left that angle out entirely.
So how was the coverage on the television this morning? What did they do?
Well, I was watching in the 5 to maybe 6:30 time slot there, and they just had the reporter out in front of the little Buckeye Chuck, I guess, groundhog house there, you know, just talking and saying, "Any minute now we're going to see some people here," because there was nobody there.
Oh, nobody there at that time.
And,
that's early.
But, you know, then they'd cut over to Pennsylvania, and there'd be crowds out there, and they had a band playing, and people were cheering.
Now, see, isn't that bad? Shouldn't we... We should not be doing that with these Ohio television stations. We should not show nobody in the parking lot, and then cut to Pennsylvania, and they got bands and things. Who did that? Who was this news reporter, Bob?
Well, it was one of the newer women at the station there, and I don't recall her name, but it was somebody who was not important enough to have in the studio.
Well, apparently not. They just sent her up here in a van, and she did her thing. Now, James, it's not like it's a secret. It was, as we've said, a taxidermied groundhog this year. So how was that handled when it came to the actual prediction? What did the television stations film there? Because not a whole lot of movement, I would guess.
I think they kind of focused more on Paul, on the person aspect side of it. Because I said, even in the past when we had a live groundhog, I mean, we still looked up at the sky and you know, kind of go with your one question. You know, what did I think of the event? Before it all started. I thought we were going to hold the groundhog up and do like the Lion King, like they do up in Pennsylvania. But they left it in the cage in years past.
Well, that's interesting. So in the past, it's always been in a cage.
Yeah. Now, when Charlie was doing it, I mean, he told me that he would have it out. And
oh, yeah.
He told me, he said, I was always so afraid it was going to bite somebody.
Well, yeah.
I was blessed it never did.
Yeah, there was some pictures of Charlie holding the groundhog, I believe, in the newspaper. And I don't know where those groundhogs came from. I don't think they came from...
I know he told me a lot of it came from the Ohio Division of Wildlife. He worked very close with the Marion County Wildlife Office.
Oh, that's good. Now, you told me last week on the air that one year you did this and the groundhog was a little riled up.
Yes, yeah, he was.
You don't want that.
No.
Now, Mary Ellen, can you imagine showing up to this event and the groundhog's got an attitude on the one morning?
Yes, I think I'd stay away.
Yeah, because groundhogs, I mean, can be dangerous. So we should put a warning out to people who are, don't go out and ask your groundhog in the backyard what the weather's going to be like, because it might not end well for you today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like any animal. They're going to fight or flee, so...
Now, is that considered more of a vicious animal in the idea that you should not approach it?
I mean, for the most part, if they see you, guess what they're going to do? I mean, they're going to run.
They're going to run away.
Now, if you corner it, I mean, yeah, they're going to fight back.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the way it goes. Now, so if you look at the sky and the groundhog is, how does a groundhog see its shadow?
I would say just how the sunlight just penetrates through. And
but how does he tell you what the?
No, you just have to see.
It. So it really is just all a guess.
Basically.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Basically.
Well. Who knew? Mary Ellen, did you know all this information about groundhogs till this morning?
I've learned a lot.
Yeah, I did not realize that there was so much involvement in this that it's kind of like an interesting play.
Well, I figured the groundhog, they held it, hopefully, and they let the sun shine on it, and if there was a shadow, that's what they were looking for.
That's what Pennsylvania, I think.
Yeah, okay. That's the way I thought it would be.
Yeah, because I always thought it was if it goes back in its hole.
Well, how are you going to get a shadow, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Because isn't the idea that it comes out of its hole?
Yeah.
And if it sees its shadow, it goes back in.
Yeah.
And if it stays out, you're good.
Yeah.
Early spring.
Yeah.
But if it goes back, but there's no hole.
No.
No.
Well, we could make one.
I have to build a hole.
Yeah,
if we just got a hole, we'd be okay.
Yeah.
Do they have a hole in Pennsylvania?
Well, they use that.
Oh, that tree.
That stump. Where they said where they originally, you know, in 1841, where they shoved back, you know, into there.
So if it goes back in the tree stump in Pennsylvania, I'll tell you, those Pennsylvania people are thinking over there. They've got the Kool-Aid with the groundhog from 1941. They got a stump and a band playing. Wow.
They do it all out. They do.
They know what they're doing. Bob, I tell you, there's things going on in Pennsylvania.
Maybe next year we'll get some kazoo players.
We need something.
Keep ratcheting this up here.
Are there songs that involve Groundhog Day?
Happy Groundhog's Day to you.
Is that what it is?
Happy Groundhog's Day.
What a song.
Well, Pennsylvania had the band, you know.
Yeah, is it what kind of band is it? Bob, what kind of band was out there this morning?
They had a couple of guitar players, But they were kind of doing a polka version of...
Oh, polka. Know, that is right. Polka, I've heard, is tied with Groundhog Day for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why, but I think it's... maybe it's the Pennsylvania tie-in that there's a polka aspect to this whole thing. Bob, are there any facts about Groundhog Day that we have not covered here this morning?
Well, I sent you a good fact here. Buckeye Check made an appearance on the nighttime version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah. Yes, I remember that. I remember that. It was a question.
It was a question.
Yeah, he didn't make an appearance.
He
was the answer to a question, I believe.
The
yes.
There, yeah. And,
pretty famous.
Pretty famous.
Oh, absolutely.
He was on the Today Show yesterday.
He was.
Really?
Yeah, it's been all over the media.
Now, what did the Today Show have to say?
I didn't watch it, but my preacher said he just talked about, hey, Buckeye Chuck's going to make the prediction.
Oh, good.
So just not the small.
Good. Well, that's what we need.
They got a groundhog, but.
Yes, we need publicity like that. Why not? You know, to be on the Today Show, Mary Ellen, that's pretty good. Everybody watches the Today Show.
Yes, I was on the Today Show.
What was it like to be on the Today Show?
No, not with the groundhog.
No.
Oh, I wanted. Well, I was anxious to see who's the gal that used to be on.
Katie Couric.
I wanted to see Katie Couric, but she wasn't there that day. I was on to advertise a coin show in New York as the reason I was on. And then they got to talking about money and all of the details about money, and that was what I did.
That's very interesting. Is when you are on a show like that where you know millions of people are watching, is there any feeling, are you aware, do you think about that? Boy, millions of people are watching this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, it's a bit of a high atmosphere.
Yeah. There was a movie star there, Kevin Costner.
Kevin Spacey?
No.
Kevin Bacon.
And, he got my autograph, and I got his autograph. Yeah.
You know, isn't it interesting it would be Kevin Bacon on Groundhog Day? Bacon. Well, I'm telling you, there's a serendipitous thing going on here this morning when it comes to...
It took a while to get to that, but we got there.
You know, if it had been Kevin Costner, it would not have meant nearly as much to Groundhog Day, but Kevin Bacon, that, you know, there you go. Now, people do eat groundhog. I think it's illegal. But they do.
No,
oh, yes.
Oh, you're allowed to?
They,
oh,
they
my Lord.
They would come out to our... When I was growing up, they would come out... black people came out to our farm to hunt for groundhogs.
Really?
Yes. Uh-huh. That was a common practice.
Now, that is very interesting that people are allowed to eat groundhog. Have you ever eaten a groundhog?
Yeah.
Oh, really? How
beefy, porky
flavor. Beefy, porky. Oh, man.
And I was trying to do some research to find an exotic or a butcher who did exotic meats, you know, and actually use, you know, real groundhog. But the internet failed me.
Golly, I can't even imagine. You would have to almost not know. Would you ever eat groundhog, Linda?
I have.
Oh, you have too?
As a kid.
And what do you remember about that?
One of our neighbors... His name was Mr. Cozy, and he did a lot of hunting. And he had a barbecue grill in his backyard, and it's like two houses across from where we lived. And you could smell it. Okay, barbecue smells good anyway, right? You don't really know as a kid about a groundhog. And he would tell all the neighborhood kids, go home and get your slice of bread and come back and get some of this meat, right? We didn't care what it was. It just smelled so good. And that was my first
barbecue groundhog
experience.
Wow!
Yeah,
Why do you think
and
it
my last?
We have yeah. Well, we have so many of them. Why do you think it hasn't become a thing?
I would just say, you can't really sell it. It would just be more of a personal thing. If, like you just mentioned, if you were doing your own thing. That's because the Department of Agriculture would have to come in because, you know, groundhogs do carry diseases.
Now, you cannot, if I'm not mistaken here, you cannot own a groundhog.
No.
No, so that is illegal.
Unless you are like a park, like myself, a rehab facility, or like OSU research.
So let me get this straight. You cannot have a groundhog as a pet, but you can eat it.
Yep.
So if it shows up on your porch, don't keep it. And feed it, you'll be arrested. But if you take, you know...
Kill it?
Yeah, kill it and fry it up, I guess you're fine. Nobody's going to bother you.
That's the humane thing to do.
Boy, I'll tell you, you just learn something new every day.
So in Ohio, they have what's called a no-close season, so that means you can hunt them any time of the year, and you can kill as many as you want.
Really?
Because they're such a nuisance species. That also goes with coyote and wild boar.
Isn't that something?
We have wild boar in Ohio? Mm-hmm.
Southern Ohio.
Southern? Yeah.
Wild boar. Bob, do we have a fact there about Groundhog Day?
Actually, yes, I do. Princeton, is it Princeton? No, I'm sorry. Cornell University did some research to answer the question, and this is groundhog related. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? And so they researched that and came up with an answer. Anybody want to take a wild guess as to how many pounds a woodchuck would chuck?
4 pounds.
Oh, no. Higher.
20.
Much, much higher.
Oh, really?
50.
No. Much, much higher.
100.
No, higher.
10 billion.
Wow. Oh.
See, wow. Linda says, wow. 700 pounds.
Oh. Can you believe that?
That's a lot of wood for it. And they estimated that based on the volume of the average burrow of a groundhog.
Well, in our by the way, we do want to remind people that our groundhog today was played by James Anderson, naturalist. We certainly thank him for that, and also getting the groundhog suit for us. And James, again, that was provided by
Headwaters Outdoor Education Center.
We thank them for providing that, and Terry Tackett for getting the donuts this morning for us from Dip Donuts. Bob for providing the groundhog pizza and the groundhog plaques, which we will distribute here at the station.
Well, and I'm thinking since nobody guessed the identity of the groundhog, nobody won the plaque of the very first Warren Groundhog Harding, I think this plaque should go to James.
Oh, there you go.
You know, as the first after the first incarnation of Warren Groundhog Harding.
Here you go, James.
And, awesome. You know, so this could hang proudly in his living room there, and everybody would come and say, oh, my gosh.
Now, did you say you had something there for me, Bob, earlier during the break?
Yes, I did.
All right, let's...
I heard an earlier show shortly after Christmas.
All right.
In which you got into some bitter debate over...
Bitter.
Bitter debate over, the acquisition of fruitcakes for fruitcake tosses and so forth. And it's all coming back. I see the look on your face. It's all coming back.
I don't like where this is going, Mary Ellen. I don't like it.
So I'm cleaning out my freezer, and I said, well...
Oh,
we can put
no.
this in the studio freezer until next year so that you have the first fruitcake for next year's fruitcake toss. And the person you were debating will...
A Claxton fruitcake. Oh, my.
So I'll put that in the freezer.
We can put that in the freezer for 20 years. It would nobody's going to touch that thing.
It'll be good. You know, so I wanted you to come out on the better end of that.
Well, yeah, there was a... the person said that I forced them to buy the fruitcakes, which I... How could I force anybody to buy fruitcakes? It was just... we were running out of fruitcakes in this town.
Yeah.
Well, we never run out of fruitcakes, but... We ran out of the edible kind of fruitcakes in this town.
But now you're covered.
Now we're covered. Now, what we do want to do, though, in our final moments, is the reason we would be doing this groundhog thing that we did this morning with our groundhog, Warren G. Groundhog, Buckeye Chuck down the road, and certainly being mentioned on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire over the years, and the Today Show, and the Columbus Media that all come to Marion with the Marion Star. It would not have been without Charlie Evers, one of the legendary broadcasters, probably the most legendary broadcaster ever here in Marion, who spent his last 6 years on this station, and I think we all have known Charlie in some way. Linda, what do you think of this man who started this tradition, who spent the last 6 years with us?
I think that Charlie was a cool guy, and he had a lot of great ideas that still live on.
James, you appeared on Charlie's show here on the station the last few years that he was on the air. What do you think he would think of this whole day still going on, still important, still, you know, vibrant?
I would say, you know, he might be, you know, say, wish some things changed, but I think, you know, we still kept it going in a way, because, you know, in the past he had used a taxidermy groundhog, so I'm glad we still kept the tradition going in some form. So.
Absolutely. Mary Ellen, you knew Charlie for a long time. What do you think this guy, what was it about him that allowed him to create things like this that go on even longer than him that still here?
Yes, yes, he did. He had ideas, and, you know, he was so easy to listen to. It just, you just could listen to him, and he would talk about things, and would make you think about things, and he was great.
I always said to people, even when he came to this station, I said, if you turned him on, you never didn't know who it was. His voice was very unique. He had a very unique voice. And also, you could not turn him off. Even if it was something you didn't care about that he was talking about, he just had a way of saying it that was very entertaining, very enjoyable. So we thank Charlie, because without him, there would not have been a day like today. And I said, Bob, we thank you for doing everything you were able to do. And Mary Ellen, thank you for coming in and being a part of this.
You're welcome.
It's always glad to have you here. All right, well, that's it for Groundhog Day. For Mary Ellen and Bob and Linda and Terry and James, we've had a lot of fun here today, and we're heading for the dugout.
And Madge, we got the first little portable recorders. Remember those? And I still got mine.
Mary Ellen used to put hers in front of the microphone to play it.
Yes, yes.